One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey guys, I'm going to be promoting my new podcast, The Way Back, here for the next few weeks. Very excited. It's going to drop every Thursday beginning January 4th right here on my YouTube channel. You don't need to subscribe anywhere else. We'll work on getting it out there wherever you get podcasts. It will be available, but you can watch video for sure right here on YouTube. Yes, I'm continuing the Honeydew. It's just in addition to that, something fun, something a little different. Going back to my roots in podcasting a little bit. So I'm excited for it. It's called The Way Back, and it's just a nostalgia podcast. Sitting back on that station wagon back seat, the one that looked out in traffic, you know, that's the one, the best seat in the house, talking about growing up and, you know, just laughing and having some good times. You're going to get The Way Back on Patreon, also a day early. You're going to get it ad-free as well. I'm really excited for this show. I really am. It got a great response when we dropped that first teaser. And our first guest to kick off is Tom Segura. So it's going to be a great one. We've got a bunch of them in the can already. You're going to see Mark Norman, Jim Gaffigan, Joe List. They're all on there. All right. So make sure you're already subscribed. And here's a little taste for you.
I remember growing up, we were terrible kids.
My brother was a bit of a pyro.
We used to take G.I. Joes, and we would tape bottle rockets
to them. The mailbox baseball. We're shooting BB guns.
Roman candle fights.
My mom didn't like anybody. She didn't even like her own kids.
These are wire neighborhoods.
I didn't have a curfew or a house.
I was all JUCO, bro.
It was a dog chasing us.
She was a drag queen.
Dude,
microfiche.
Nolan Ryan, that fastball. Boom, right in my brother's face.
Yeah, those were the days.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And I want to say thank you like I do every week. Thank you to everybody that watches, subscribes, supports, comments, rates, reviews, all of it. I appreciate you. Whether you're new here or whether you've been here, thank you. And if you got to have more, then you got to have the Patreon. The Patreon's called The Honeydew with Y'all, and y'all have the wildest stories. There's going to be an end of the year episode we already have pre-recorded with Josh Wolf, where we highlight again 10 of our favorite episodes. This will be the third one. Trust me when I tell you the 30 episodes we've highlighted are worth the Patreon subscription, all right? Those alone. You ain't going to find this on Netflix, all right? And if you're looking for a new podcast to listen to, then you got to check out The Crab Feast. It's my old podcast I did with Jay Larson. That thing it hadn't been around for 5 years in the library. I say it every week. It did 1.1 million downloads last year. So thank you for keeping that alive out there, y'all. And subscribe to my new podcast, The Way Back. You'll see it every Thursday right here on YouTube. It's going to be a little throwback podcast, some storytelling, nostalgia, all that good stuff. All right. For dates, it's all at ryansickler.com, all that stuff. You know what we're doing here. We're highlighting the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. Ladies and gentlemen, I am very excited to have back on The Honeydew, Steve-O. Welcome back to The Honeydew, Steve-O.
Yeah, dude.
My dog, Princess, fell in love with you right away when you walked in. Immediately, she loved you.
She liked me, and then she growled at me.
She did give you a growl?
Yeah, she did. She gives a little bit of a growl, okay. And then I got over the hump.
Yeah, you did. Look at her. First time we've had her on The Honeydew.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Yeah, she comes in. She was scratching at the door. Well, before we get into whatever we're going to talk about today, please plug, promote. You got the new special out right now. Plug it all, please.
Did they send you a link?
They did. We have a link. They just sent it.
Oh, you didn't check it out?
They sent it last night.
Dude, bastards.
I got it last night, dude. But I saw your clip with Bert, so I'm dying to watch it today.
Dude, it's really, really messed up, man.
I've never heard anybody say that about a stand-up special.
Dude, it starts
tell us everything.
The first thing you see when the show starts is the warning screen. The warning screen says, warning, the following contains seriously effed up S, including reckless illegal stunts, graphic violence, nudity, and full-on pornography.
That should just be the log line. Yeah,
and then the warning goes on. It's so effed up. There's a chance you may actually pass out.
Does it get that
so
wild?
So you're officially watching this at your own risk.
All right, I'm watching that at my own risk tonight. My daughter goes to bed.
Then lastly, don't attempt anything you're about to see. Yeah, dude, at the taping, taped it in two shows in one night.
Okay.
And at the first show, 5 people passed out in the audience.
Passed out.
Yeah.
Look, I've worked with you, so I know what you did back when you first started at the Improv.
But that was back in the beginning.
Look, I know, but you put blood on you, and you asked me to light you on fire, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. I'll hug you, bro."
Yeah, I had somebody light me on fire last night.
And the secret, if I remember, was it Pantene leave-in conditioner? That's at least what you did that night. I'm pretty sure.
Well, that was I would put conditioner in my hair so that when I lit all my hair on fire, it wouldn't. Like, you know, just the accelerant would burn and not the hair, you know. But now I don't do it every night.
Every night. I remember you were squeezing lemons in your eyes and messaging you saying you will go blind.
And I think that's why I'm wearing glasses. Yeah. It's a tough gig being Steve-O.
It's a tough gig being Steve-O,
right.
Bro.
And in the beginning when I started doing stand-up, it was like, you know what? I'm going to promise people I'm going to do crazy stunts. I'm going to like try and lure them in with I'm doing stunts on stage and, you know, let them leave thinking, man, his standup was okay, you know? And that's why I used to do the full meet and greet, take photos with the whole audience after. And, I kept doing that, you know, like, but it was just me telling stories and doing stand-up. And then I'd just do a couple tricks at the end of the show. And then when I put together my second hour, I was like, oh, my God. Like, all the stories I'm telling, like, really happened on camera. So I came up with the idea for my second special to be, like, multimedia, where in post-production, I edit in footage of the stories happening. So you see me telling the story.
Great.
But interstitially, you've like, it's B-roll. Illustrated.
Yeah. Fuck
it's,
yeah.
It's illustrated. And that really worked so well, man. My second special, it was called Gnarly. And it's at steveo.com, streams completely for free at this point.
That's the other thing I love that you're doing is not putting it on YouTube or anywhere. You're going right to steveo.com. I know. You
especially now that it's like multimedia. And like that second hour, I toured it, you know, the whole time without the benefit of the multimedia component, which was important. You know, I didn't lean on the footage. Like it was, the show was worthy in its own right of the whole tour. But man, that multimedia component added a lot in post-production. So then when I came to do my third hour, I'm like, man, I gotta bring footage on the road. And I'm like, also, I don't want to be living in the past anymore, because before it was like an exercise in telling all my craziest stories. I was like, I got to create new crazy stories and bring the footage on the road. So I'm like, how am I going to do that? How am I going to raise the bar?
Jesus Christ, dude, bar is so high. You've set the bar. Like, what do you mean raise it?
I wanted to raise the
bar.
Can
I just pause you for one second? Do you ever think, now that you say this, do you ever think about a kid that's going to come along inspired by you, who's maybe 15 right now that's going to take your shit where even you in your 70s are going to be like, Jesus Christ, dude. You ever think about that? Or are you like, nah, y'all are never going to do it? You're raising the bar. How old are you?
49.
You're raising the bar. I love it. I love it, dude.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Tell me what that means.
I was thinking to myself, I got to film crazier than ever, new stuff. And like, but what am I going to do? Like, you know, my buddies and I have pretty much done everything. But I only thought that for like a half a second. I was like, yeah, no, I know. There's actually some ideas been sitting around for like forever. But they were never supposed to happen. You know, like the main example of one of these ideas was skydiving, where for like 20 years, I always said like, man, if I ever go skydiving, I'm going to be butt ass naked.
And you'd never been skydiving?
I had never been skydiving. I actually like
until how old?
Dude, I have a gnarly irrational fear of roller coasters and bungee jumping.
None of that's irrational, by the way.
It's counterintuitive.
You wouldn't
think that Steve-O's afraid of roller coasters and bungee jumping, but I totally am.
I can't believe you got by not ever doing that in Jackass or anything all those years.
I mean, in Wild Boys meant like way, way like 20 years ago. We were in Costa Rica. They took me to a 200-foot bridge, and they had built me these Condor Man wings. So the gag was I'm going to jump off the bridge and try and fly. But I was like, guys, you don't understand. Like, I will not be able to bring myself to jump off that bridge. Zero chance. And they're like, yeah, we'll talk him into it. You know, and they couldn't talk me into it. I was like, I literally cannot bring myself to do that. I will not do it. And we settled on a compromise of having five Costa Rican dudes do the mafia toss, where they pick me up and throw me off.
Oh, so you still went, but I
went, but I just, like, that way I didn't have to do anything. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't have been able to jump.
The fucking threw you up. Did it work? Did the wings work?
Oh, no, the wings did not work. But because I can point anybody to that footage as like proof. I'm not kidding that I don't like that stuff. I don't like it. So whenever skydiving came up, I had this idea as a way of avoiding having to do it. I was like, oh man, skydiving is not a stunt. Everybody does that. Come on, dude. It's like, if I go skydiving, I'm going to be butt naked and furiously jacking off with another man strapped to my back. Plus, I'm going to time it so that I'm actually blowing a load as I fall out of the airplane.
That's our first promo right there, for real. Yeah. Does the dude on your back know that you're going to be doing that? Okay, all right.
Hell yeah. we ended up like not being able to get a company like or anybody, you know, to sign off on it. So I went on my social media asking for licensed tandem skydive professionals. We ended up having 20 dudes say, let's go.
20 of them.
So I went with the only guy who said, please. Yeah.
Were you able to get your dick hard with that level of fear and everything?
I had four Cialis pills for breakfast.
Okay, all right. Four of them. Jesus Christ.
That was my breakfast. and I brought a portable DVD.
You could have landed on that motherfucker.
Yeah.
You brought a what? Were you looking at porn?
Portable DVD player. Yeah. And I was backed up for 4 days.
So you made it happen? Well, watch the special.
Yeah.
Watch the special.
I mean, dude, like that, that's like, you can't do that for Jackass.
No, you can't.
And you can't flagrantly break the law either, man. Like, I had medical professionals straight stealing drugs from the hospital.
What do you mean?
Stealing general anesthesia drugs, which they administered through an IV in my vein while I'm hauling ass on a bicycle through a field. And you know what?
I can't wait to go home.
You know what an epidural is?
Yeah, just had three of them. Yeah.
Yeah, 4-inch needle in your spine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
I got that shit. They inject the drug into my spinal cavity, yank out the needle, and I take off to see how far I can run.
No. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. For sure. And then once I'm down, then the experiments begin to see how if I'm really paralyzed.
Paralyzed?
Well, yeah, it's the thing is paralyzed.
And were you partially, like, did they do some shit where you couldn't feel it at all?
They did dark shit. Dark shit.
And you're watching your own legs like that?
Well, the thing was, though, like the one thing they told me to watch out for is if I become paralyzed above the waist, because then shit starts shutting down. And I fucking couldn't feel anything. My whole chest is numb. I'm fucking can't breathe. It's the scariest fucking thing I've ever
been through. At that moment right there, what starts going through your head? Do you have thoughts like, okay, this bullshit's not worth it? Do you go there at all?
Well, I'm like, I'm in a field, you know, like the medical professional is actually dressed up as a clown.
But he is a real professional.
Yeah. I won't reveal where it was.
This is the guy saving you.
He's actually wearing a fucking clown.
Could you imagine driving by looking in a field, seeing some clown work on Steve? Like, that's Steve-O.
Dude, I'm fucking freaking out. I'm like, dude, for me to, like, it was so difficult for me to breathe. I could barely muster enough breath to say, I'm having trouble breathing.
Dude, I've watched you do hours and hours and hours of the most fucked up shit. You're telling me this was up there with level of scary?
Yeah, because I'm like, here, my systems are shutting down.
You couldn't raise your arms or?
I could raise my arms, but I couldn't feel my chest or any indication that I was able to breathe.
Jesus Christ.
And
for how long?
About 45 minutes.
Oh my God, dude. I would have thought I was paralyzed forever for almost an hour for that.
Yeah, I wasn't worried about paralyzed forever. I was worried about, like, you know, unable to breathe and dead because that, you know, like, so yeah, that one was
unable to breathe and dead. Yeah, that's a good one to work.
Yeah. And like after the bit, I'm still laying there on the ground. I just start sobbing, dude, crying, like. And this weird doctor guy, first time he shows any emotion throughout this whole ordeal, he's confused as to why I'm sobbing. And he asks me what's happening. Through my tears, I say, the bar for my stunts is so fucking high. we just raised it, dude. Yeah. Just tears of joy because I just raised the bar. It's so hard to do that. And yeah, man, it's a big deal. And so, like, the way that it works, yeah, I filmed all this stuff. I put together a whole hour for it. You know, like, the show is a journey through the bucket list, and each bit gets paid off with the actual footage of the forbidden stunt taking place. And the stunts are presented in descending order of the approval and support of my fiance.
Hell yeah.
In the beginning, she's all about it.
But these are all new stunts.
Yeah.
This is stuff you've never seen before, sure. Done before. Hell yeah. So in the beginning, she's all about it.
In the beginning, like my
buddies. Where does it shift?
In the beginning, like my buddies are running for their lives and barfing. And she's standing strong, dude. Like moving in for a better shot. And that's like the one where I'm like, that's how I knew she's the one. So. You know,
so
I knew I had to put a ring on it. And then it's like, all right, so we got engaged. Like that, which begs the question, are we going to have kids?
Are you?
Nah, dude, that's the next stunt, the vasectomy Olympics. And she's all about it, you know? She's like, no, like telling when I'm dressed up as a pinata, like immediately after my vasectomy with kids whacking me in the balls with a stick. She's like, no, hit him in the balls. Yeah, Jesus, like, it's heavy, dude.
How long is it?
How long's the special?
Yeah.
An hour and 5 minutes.
You got an hour and 5 minutes of new stunts this level of shit?
It's it's stand up meets Jackass. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
yeah, I get it. I'm just saying it's a lot of content, lot of stunts.
There's like 10. There's 10 items on the list, and it's got a heavy credit bed. Yeah, the credit bed's so much fun. And dude, the beginning, the opening sequence. I fucking shot it with Bill Burr.
Did you? Hell yeah.
And it cost over $150,000 for about a minute and a half of footage.
Just the opening sequence?
Yeah. Couldn't be more fucking stoked on it. Like, it was a big gamble. I was like, dude, I want to be on a fucking roof, and I want a fucking big ass helicopter, and I want the fucking helicopter to drop a rope ladder. I grab it with my bare hands, and it flies off, and I'm dangling around. I want to get fucking crashed through all kinds of shit. And then I want the helicopter flying over my moving tour bus, and I got to let go and land on the roof of the moving tour bus. And, you know, and then more shit happens after that, too.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and Bill Burr.
I just used audience applause to walk on stage.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Do you do all that?
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
I swear to God, dude, you'll see it in the opening sequence. And Bill Burr's a helicopter pilot.
That's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, candidly, we shot all the stunts, and then after the fact, I showed it to Bill Burr, and I was like, hey, can we go up in a helicopter with you and film you for insert shots to cut to you flying the helicopter to make you the pilot? Like, he wasn't there for the stunt day, but the fact of him being such a bro, like, yeah, dude, fuck yeah, I'll do that for you. You rent the helicopter, I'll fly it. And it's a big deal for me being... You know, Steve-O from Jackass coming in to stand up. Everyone's looking sideways at me, like, and have Bill Burr sign off.
Bill Burr is the dude, yeah.
Yeah, like my first stand-up special, the opening was me in the dressing room, like, effectively apologizing for the fact that you were about to watch me do stand-up comedy. Then my second special started with a billboard truck with, like the art for my... special on the billboard, and all the Jackass guys reunited to duct tape me to the billboard.
I remember that one. Yeah,
hit baseballs at me and then drive me to the theater down the highway. You know,
before you perform,
right? That was epic because it was like my Jackass. You know, my first special, nobody signed up on me. You know, my second special, all the Jackass guys got together to symbolically, you know, give me their blessing and send me down the road.
Yeah.
And then the third one, I got Bill Burr signing off on me.
I mean, come on.
It's epic.
It is epic.
Yeah.
Good for you, Steve-O. I love the way you're doing it.
Well, thanks, man.
I really do like the way you're doing it.
It's scary.
Yeah, it's scary as fuck.
It's scary.
But I mean, literally way more for you. You're fucking.
Yeah. It's scary, but dude, like, I'm so fucking stoked on this. Sorry. I know it's not good to load
please,
up on swears.
Who gives a shit?
But yeah, dude, I'm really, really hyped on this one, man. It's the best thing I've ever made.
Good for you.
And if you like put my first special and this like next to each other, like, man, I'm so stoked on having that turd of a first special as a milestone for how far I've come since then.
Good for you.
Yeah. So everybody at stevo.com, check out my bucket list special. And, dude, let's get into it, dude. What do we got?
Well, I wanted to talk to you because, you know, look, we do this weekly. We've talked about everything. So where's little lady?
Yeah.
Oh, she's behind you. Let me get some water.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, let's talk about, I told you I wanted to do like a parallel thing where I ask you about the most embarrassing stunt you've done for Jackass or entertainment.
Embarrassing in what way?
You tell me, like, anything that humiliated you or where you look back, you're like, man, regret. Versus something, an actual moment that happened in real life. I want to see if real life is stranger than what you guys can create. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
So you can go either way with that.
Oh, look who it is.
To think of embarrassing or regrettable moments in Jackass, clearly, it's not. There's a saying: it's better to regret the things that you have done than to regret the things that you haven't done. And I really, really, you know, hold that dear to my heart because
give me one of each.
Regret the things that I did do. And when it comes to Jackass, when it comes to like things going bad or getting hurt, like, You know, the worse the consequences, the better the footage. You know, like, I really don't have too much regret. Well, okay. I regret the baby tattoo. That wasn't even for Jackass. But, I got this crazy tattoo, and it haunts me till this day, man. Like, it's never going to stop.
Why'd you get it?
I was just into getting dumb tattoos, man. I would get like the most regrettable tattoo on purpose because that was a stunt, you know? I had like full on profanity tattooed on my knuckles, you know? Like my right hand was the S word, my left hand was the F word. Like four letter words on my knuckles tattooed. You know, I was just like, all right, what next? You know, like I had a big like wiener tattooed, like I'm how do I get more and more aggressive with the most regrettable possible?
Well,
tattoos?
Let's see this tattoo on your head right now, right here.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of mellow, but
that's newish though, isn't that? That's a newer one. Is that your latest tattoo on your body?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I'm part of my new hour. I'm working on is a crash test dummy bit.
Bro, it's there. It looks good.
Yeah. That's just like, I got a lot of crashing to do, man.
So the baby tattoo.
The baby tattoo.
Are you working on getting that removed?
I got it covered up.
Yeah. Oh, you got it covered up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the most regret. But other than that, I don't really regret anything too much. I regret things that you know, harmed other people. You know, you never want to like do harm to others, but anything that harmed me is all pretty good.
What about
embarrassed?
That's or wait, before we go to embarrassed, regret. Is there anyone that you regret that you didn't do?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like what was one that you always wanted to do that you didn't get to do?
That's all of my regrets, man. We were in India and they had this bed of hot coals that took all day to get set up to make it right. Mm-hmm. And they had a balance beam, it was like a plank in the air, like kind of like a gymnastics balance beam over the hot coals. And my job was to ride a unicycle on the balance beam.
I like the way you say unicycycle.
Yeah, like, and so obviously,
over the hot coals.
Yeah, like obviously I'm going to fall and go into the hot coals, but there's just something about being on that balance beam that I just couldn't commit with both feet to getting on the unicycle. And I just wimped out. I didn't do it. And that haunted me forever, man.
It did?
Yeah.
Have you ever gone back and done it?
That was on the second movie when we were in India. And then on the third movie, we did a fire, swinging fire gauntlet.
Look, the farmer's dog is back thanks to you guys and Princess and I couldn't be happier. Everybody here works, man. Everybody here works. The Farmer's Dog was founded by two dog lovers who decided to reimagine pet food from the ground up. The Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. It's developed by vets, nutritionally balanced, and made from real healthy ingredients to human food safety standards. Not only that, it's also pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. This makes it easy to help your dog maintain their ideal weight, which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits from healthier coat and skin to better breath, even easier digestion, and smaller, better poops. All things I've noticed with Princess Lily Rose right here. Doesn't matter if your dog is young or old, it's always the right time to begin investing in their health, helping you live more healthy, happy, and full years together. Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/honeydew. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to farmersdog.com/honeydew to get 50% off. That's farmersdog.com/honeydew. Bidets are self-care for the selfless because even busy parents poop and can take five for their butt health. Look, I've been using Tushy for a long time. I love it. I never had one prior to Tushy, and I don't like pooping anywhere else. I don't like going anywhere else. I will save it to get home and risk messing my pants to use my Tushy. With over 100,000 five-star reviews, see why millions of real pooping humans already love Hello Tushy Bidet. Every Hello Tushy Bidet attachment comes with a 30-day risk-free guarantee and a 12-month warranty. Hello Tushy Bidet's fresh stream of water cleans your bum 2 times better than wiping. Even if you use wet wipes, you're still smearing poop around and introducing nasty chemicals to your butt. Using a Hello Tushy Bidet also prevents poop particles from spreading to your hands and everything you touch, like my hands at the meet and greets. It attaches to your existing toilet, requires no electricity or additional plumbing, and cuts toilet paper use by 80%. A Hello Tushy Bidet pays for itself in under a year. Take care of yourself from the bottom up this holiday season. Visit HelloTushy.com/honeydew and use promo code honeydew for 10% off your first order. That's HelloTushy.com/honeydew for 10% off. HelloTushy.com/honeydew. This bustling holiday season, you might be looking for nutritious, flavorful meals to fuel you on jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help you eat well for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle while tackling all your holiday to-dos. If you're looking for calorie-conscious options that don't skip on flavor, then you can try delicious, dietitian-approved, calorie-smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. Or if you need an extra boost to support your wellness goals and feel your best during the holidays, try protein plus meals with 30 grams of protein or more per serving. With Factor, you can rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for their production sites and offices. This December, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Listen, I'm going to say this. I have them. I have a stack of them they sent me. They're delicious. They're all under 550 calories. They even have some shakes. I have a strawberry banana shake to start the morning. It's delicious. It's not like that old, you know, microwave throw in the freezer foods. It's not like that at all. It's really good for you. So head to factormeals.com/honeydew50 and use code honeydew50 to get 50% off. That's code honeydew50 at factormeals.com/honeydew50 to get 50% off. Now, let's get back to the do.
What else do I regret? I wonder why. Yeah, I'm kind of drawing a blank, so I guess I didn't wimp out that many times.
How about you said most embarrassing? You were going there next.
Yeah, most embarrassing. I mean, I'm embarrassed of the fact that back in the Wild Boy, I'm embarrassed of the fact that back in the Wild Boys days, I shot at a like SeaWorld type place, riding dolphins in captivity. You know, like the big orca with his fin flopped
over. You got on one of those?
I didn't get on the orca, but I was riding dolphins around. And we shot with the orca with its fin flopped over, you know, to go on to be like, Mr. Like, SeaWorld is a bad place, and have that in my past is pretty rough.
Talk about that. Like, what made you realize, was it that made you realize like this shit's crazy?
I just became more sensitive about animal stuff over the years. Of course, I was impacted by the Blackfish documentary. I don't know. At the time, like back then in Argentina, filming Wild Boys in like 2004 or 5 or whatever it was, didn't even register that it was bad. And so, you know, I'll plead ignorance. But yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, but at least you're growing as a person and a man. You're not, you know. But also, and you guys did crazy shit. I remember, did I not see you guys like next to gorillas and shit?
Yeah.
Like as close as we are.
Not quite as close
pretty
as
close,
we are.
Bro.
Pretty damn close.
Like a gorilla could get to you in a second.
Oh, yeah. And that, those were legitimately wild mountain gorillas in Rwanda.
That's what I mean, dude.
Yeah, that was heavy, dude.
Dude, I remember seeing that thing. And then like, we're like, at any moment, it could just rip your fucking head off.
Yeah, we're like, dude, these girls could kill us.
Yes.
We better put on the banana suits.
Yeah, that's what you did. Then you put on banana suits and ran around. It wasn't enough just to.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. The wild animal stuff definitely was dangerous.
Tigers, you ever fucking wild big cats?
Big cats, yes, but they were all like somewhat controlled environments with captive big cats that were in California. Okay. So like when we were in the zebra suit and got mauled by the lion.
That's what I'm saying. It's not enough.
That happened in California.
Okay.
Like when we were in the hammock with the meat, you know, hanging from it and the lions, that was in California. There's one where we had a tiger pounce on us while we were in an inflatable dinghy and he popped the dinghy and that happened in California.
Dude, what is the power and pressure of one of those big cats coming down on you feel like?
Like when I'm up in the tree for the Nintendo commercial, that was in California too. That was that I was resigned to it being that's it. You know, like I'm dead.
Yeah, they climb.
And I remember thinking like, man, I was pretty badass about that. I didn't bitch out. I just kind of went limp and so here goes.
Wait, what?
Like I had a really close call with the lion in a tree, and it was on my back, like kind of like
not in a suit or anything, like just legit on your back. What does that feel like?
It felt like my last moments.
Did you really think this is
it? Yeah, for sure.
I mean, all it has to do is prick your neck, just accidentally, just one of those teeth.
I said, good kitty, good kitty.
Is that where you're for real?
200-pound lion, and I'm like, good kitty. And I just kind of went limp and
it was no longer interested.
Well, yeah, they brought in some meat to like, hey, can I have this meat over here? So it got off me,
dude. What about scariest? Like one where you in life? Give me one in real life. Fuck jackass for a second in a respectful way. Tell me real life shit.
If my fiance heard this, like, I'm a bad driver.
Are you really?
Yeah, and I haven't complained.
You're still right into that spot out there today, though. Pretty nice.
Okay. I just, like, I have a lot of thoughts happen at once. You know, like,
while you're driving?
Just all the time, man. Okay. Like, my head is really loud and like, you know, there's just a lot happening in my head and it comes out as bad driving, you know?
Yeah.
And we just bought this property. I can't believe I'm going to admit this, man. We bought this property in Tennessee and when we took possession, I'm just going to say this more cleanly. My lady and I bought this property in Tennessee. And it just worked out that the day the previous owners moved out was the first day after my tour.
Okay.
And I had to connect flights to get home. So I was like, all right, I'll connect in Tennessee. Spend a couple days there. So I was by myself. And I rented a car. I'm driving around. And like there was this point where I'm just driving. And I realized that not only did I blow a stop sign, but I drove into the highway.
What?
A 65 mile an hour speed limit.
Wait.
Highway.
Just straight through and on?
I mean, it's just like a highway that doesn't have an
How fast
on-ramp.
Are you going?
I mean, I'm just going like kind of normal, like 30, 40, like I don't know. But like it is just by chance that there wasn't a car that just straight T-boned me so gnarly. And that chance wasn't so good, like going into the next lane of the other direction. Like I'm like, oh my God, dude. Like that's the worst bad driving thing. And I almost died. Like, I mean, I not almost died. I could have died straight
up. You easily
up.
Could. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, the speed limit on that is 65. So who knows what they're actually doing? And why it's a highway that you can get on without an on-ramp is beyond me.
All right, so here's another question I have for you. What do you do to calm down? You say your mind's always going. Yeah. You're always going. You're always wanting to raise the bar. Yeah. You're always boom, boom, boom. What do you ever – do you know how to relax? I know I don't. I know I don't.
Yeah.
Do you know how to do that? Do you take naps? What the fuck do you do? Are your adrenaline put you down
at all? I meditate every day.
Every day.
Twice a day. Yeah, I keep track of it on an app, and check it out, dude. I've done since December 27th, 2019. I've meditated 1,419 days.
Hell yeah, straight.
Averaging 41 minutes a day, totaling 976 hours. You know, I broke my streak when I went to Australia. Like, the time zone.
Oh,
it's man. Like
that doesn't count.
You
can't blame yourself for that.
My longest streak was 1,199 days.
Wow, dude.
But still, I'm averaging 41 minutes every
What made you start day. Doing that?
It's Russell Brand. I mean, I subscribe to the idea that meditation was helpful.
Yeah, I would say.
And Russell Brand in 2013, he was like, oh, dude, you know, like you got to meditate. And he hooked me up with this meditation teacher. Mm-hmm. And I kind of dabbled in it, you know. And then, dude, the meditation teacher was from this David Lynch Foundation. Right. And I'm like, okay, dude, you know, I'm going to the teacher meditating. And my meditation teacher says, hey, you know, like we're trying to stop the prison or the school to prison pipeline in like Los Angeles, you know, like all these kids are going to. So we're trying to bring meditation into the inner city schools. And help, you know, help these kids. Like we get behind it. I'm like, hell yeah. This was in 2015 when I was getting ready to tape my first special. I was like, hell yeah. So like I do this big fundraiser thing. I'm like, I'm giving away VIP tickets to somebody no matter where you are in the world to come be at the taping of my special. And there's all these different tiers of like prizes that you can win. Certain donations get you certain things. Everything gets you a chance at a bigger thing. And I promoted it like crazy on all platforms. Promote, promote, promote. And goddamn, I'm looking at it. I'm like, I'm doing all this stuff. The David Lynch Foundation never acknowledged anything that I was doing. Like they didn't like there. I was like, wow, that's weird. I'm doing all this stuff, tagging them and stuff.
They're not sharing it.
They're not following me back. They're not sharing it. They're like I'm.
But they asked you.
That my teacher did. I don't know if like okay. The organization. But the thing was, when you go into the David Lynch like little headquarters, it's just like a celebrity circle jerk in there. You got the walls are plastered. Paul McCartney, Russell Brand, Jerry Seinfeld. Like they just can't have enough celebrities on the wall. And like I wanted to be in the club, you know. Like they didn't have to put me on the wall, but like don't act. And I was just, I just got so like just offended, man. You know, I was offended that they were just like not even acknowledging all of this effort that I was doing for them. And so I quit. I gave up my spiritual practice out of resentment. Okay, and then like. Years went by, you know, I wasn't really meditating. And then I was like, dude, I'm blowing it. Like, here, my resentment towards this David Lynch, they teach transcendental meditation.
I was going to ask if it was TM.
It was TM. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, man, screw those people, you know? Maybe they didn't. I don't know how they couldn't know when I'm tagging them and everything I posted. But I was just like, screw them. And as the years went by, I thought, I'm kind of blowing it, dude. I think I would benefit from meditating, but it was just that grudge. And then, I caught wind or I saw this thing, this guy offering to teach Vedic meditation, a slightly different thing. And I was like,
that.
You know what? I'm going to start over. I'm going to start over with a new thing, new deal. And I went to this new teacher in December of 2019. And I learned hilariously that what's called Vedic meditation is literally the same thing as transcendental meditation. You get a mantra. Even I've been taught in both things. The process was identical down to the little ceremony with the flowers, with the whole thing. There's literally no difference. There's no reason to distinguish. There's nothing that
it's a marketing thing. Then is that what?
But the best thing about it is that there's like a low grade war between the Vedic meditation people and the TM. They do the same thing.
The meditation people are fighting each other, bro.
They're like, oh, well, those people and then these people, you know? And like,
who swears they're first?
Vedic? I'm not even sure. I would have to guess the Vedic people are first. But the thing is, it's like, dude, oh, there's beef? Oh, man.
Yeah, hell yeah.
There's beef. I mean, like, these spiritual people are beef, spiritual beef. And I'm like, dude, I'm in. TM's a joke. I do Vedic, okay? And I do it every day.
Do you?
I do it every
day.
That's
great, dude.
I do it every day no matter what. And I genuinely, like, I have this genuine belief that because I have a disciplined meditation practice, I believe that the universe conspires in my favor. I believe that I'm protected. I believe that I have a relationship with the universe. And, you know, I got to tell the truth all the time. I got to do the right thing all the time. And I got to put in my meditation. If I do that, everything's cool.
That's how you live your day?
Everything's going to be good. That's my faith.
How long have you been clean and sober now?
15 years.
That's a long time.
Is that crazy?
That is crazy. 15 years.
And sexually sober.
What's that?
Meaning like no acting out.
Faithful?
Faithful.
Okay. But you mean single as well, not going crazy?
I mean, you got to remember back, like, in, you know, when I was doing the comedy, like, I was like, oh, dude, I'm in, you know, like, I'm not beaten off. Like, I'm not, like, I'm, you know, working on, I went to sex addict rehab in 2013.
You did?
I did.
What was, why? What made you think, or what made you, I don't know what who told you, whatever, you had an addiction?
It was, I mean, like, I used to, like, you know, like I said, I used to do the meet and greets after every show. And that was like a glorified audition to figure out, like, who I was going to hook up with out of the audience. You know, like, I was gnarly on the road just trying to hook up with chicks all the time. And as I approached 40, you know, I approached 40 years old and I was like, this isn't it, man. You know, like, this isn't how I'm, like, this isn't a path to being, like, happy in life. Like, especially later in life. Mm-hmm. Like, I really believed if I'm going to be happy in life, I got to learn how to be in a healthy relationship. I got to knock it off with the running around and trying to hook up with chicks. I tried to quit and I couldn't. I just couldn't. And like, I got into therapy. I did the whole thing. And my mantra was, I'm going to do the work to become the man that the love of my life deserves. And that was my deal, man, you know? And I had to do a lot of work to be ready to meet what's my girl now. We've been together for almost 7 years, and, like, I haven't done a damn thing.
Good.
You know, like, to behave all the time in a way that if my girl had, like a drone.
Yeah. You know, like follow it all, like, the time.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Like, you want my location? I don't give a shit.
Oh, dude.
Whatever. Take it on.
We got our thumbprints, our face recognition. And she's welcome in my phone 100% of the time. We share locations. Like,
see, dude. I've been the opposite of you. And I have past relationships too where they don't believe me. Like, there's no way you don't fuck on the road. I'm like, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I've always been scared of a few things. One is just having a road baby, big time. Like, I always wanted to be a dad, and I didn't want to have a kid with, I'm living in LA and somebody's in fucking whatever, Omaha or something. You know what I mean? The other thing is, and this is what I had Gareth Reynolds, we talked about, was I've always been skeptical. I always feel like you're going to take me to your place, or you're going to come back to my place, going to drug me, rob me, whatever. Or your boyfriend or husband's going to be there, fuck me up, rob me. So I've just never one time ever. But I can't get Nobody believes it. I'm like, I get why you don't believe it, but I'm telling you, on the road, nah.
Wow. That's impressive.
But I'm just, because I'm scared. Fucking scared. I'm like, nah, I don't, there isn't a chick out there that's worth getting fucked up in some Marriott. You know what I mean?
I was never worried about getting.
You never thought of that? You're high profile. You never thought of being jumped and robbed or anything?
Getting set up like that? Yeah. No, but I was just always worried about, like, oh, my God, like, what did I put my wiener into this time?
You know? Well, that,
like, I got to go get checked out. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's a lot of just stress, man. Stress and chaos and just time wasted.
Time wasted.
The amount of time that gets burned up trying to chase chicks around is stupid. And now, like, I'm just
now stoked. You got the one, yeah.
Yeah, and like, there was a lot of shame involved too, you know. Just like, man, like, just using people, like, exploiting people, you know, like, this is not. There was a lot of shame, a lot of stress, a lot of, you know, guilt, and.
So that was, you've been sex clean again. How long?
Sexually sober. Sexually coming up on 7 years.
Okay. So this relationship done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you. And then, but clean 15?
15 years, no drugs, no booze.
What's the last you used, and why did you finally say enough?
Yeah.
Did you have an intervention?
Like it did get a little blurry when I'm riding a bicycle around, like getting shot up with general anesthesia. But I did that in consultation. And that was actually a revision to the stunt. The stunt started out, the idea was to get shot, like one of my buddies and I line up for a foot race, and it starts like, on your mark, get set, they shoot tranquilizer darts into our butt cheeks, and then we see who can run, you know, the farthest. But the tranquilizer darts have fucking animal tranquilizer in it. And, like, everybody knows, that's ketamine.
Oh, fuck. I didn't even think of that.
And I fucking love ketamine. I can't fucking fuck with that, you know? So I was like, oh. And I got close to doing it, dude. We found the guy with the tranquilizer dart gun. He's like, dude, I got a veterinarian, doesn't give a fuck. You know, like, the veterinarian's ready to load up the darts with the ketamine. Like, it was on.
And that fucking dose, what would that do to you?
I mean, dude, like,
that's like,
who knows?
It's like jumping inside a heroin needle, that kind of dose going. Yeah, that should take down an elephant.
Like, who knows, man? But it was ready to go. We had, like, all we had to do was jump on the plane and go do it. And like, I wanted to do that bad. Like, I'm an ambitious cat. And I had, like, this is the biggest conflict for me. Like, my two most important things, like, get the footage, you know, like, raise the bar. Like, my ambition, like, was just at odds with my recovery. Like, I got to stay sober to stay alive, and I got to, you know, like, and I was losing my mind, dude. Like, losing my mind. Like, I was
basically picking footage over sobriety.
Yeah, I was ready to go. I was like, dude, it's only one time, you know?
Even that one time. I feel like I've never done it. I feel like if I got shot in the ass with that dart, I'd be addicted. I would be addicted.
Who knows? But ultimately, like, common sense prevailed, and I arrived at the conclusion, like, okay, I'm not doing that, but I gotta go down this path.
That's what I love about you. It's not like, no, we're not gonna do that.
I gotta change this.
Yeah, we're gonna do it. I just gotta figure out how.
Yeah, I was just like, the tranquilizer dart foot race is not it. But in sobriety, I've had hella surgeries.
What do you mean? I've
had all kinds of surgeries, endoscopies, you name it. Like, I've been knocked out for general anesthesia a bunch of times, and I never relapsed.
Okay, good, because that's fentanyl and shit like that,
propofol.
Too. I got fentanyl and a Valium the last time. I got three epidurals, and they were like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah. And
Did you have that in your own possession after you left the hospital?
No. Just what they gave me to put me out there. And I thought about that, and I was like, wow, you're really giving me a responsible, obviously legal dose of this shit. But the last thing I remember is they were tucking a pillow under my stomach. She goes, you okay? I'm like, I'm good. Boom. I wake up. I'm in another room in
that
a chair.
That sounds like propofol, not fentanyl.
He told me fentanyl and Valium. I'm just telling you what he told me.
I mean, hey.
I woke up, and I was like, how did I get here? And they're like, you walked here. And I was like,
wow. I mean, I'm not doubting it, you know, whatever. I've never even filled out a prescription for a painkiller, like when I left the hospital. I'll take whatever the doctors want to give me to do the procedure, you know, whatever.
Okay, that's what I want to ask.
It's not in my possession. I'm not taking right. it. If the doctor thinks I need it, I'll tell him, look, I'm a drug addict, you know.
But when you leave, what do you do for pain then? Just over the counter?
Advil, Tylenol.
Okay.
In the most horrifying situations, both of them at once.
You do really? Does it work?
Yeah.
Does it really?
Dude, the most effective pain management there is.
You're selling out on this show. I love it.
100%.
Tylenol and Advil together?
Yeah. For sure. Like when I shattered my ankle and had 11 screws to screw it together.
No pain meds.
No pain meds, dude. That was Tylenol plus Advil.
And that helped? Yeah. I know that's not going to take the pain away, but it helped for sure.
It was still horrific, but yeah, that helped a lot. That got me through it. And so, yeah, I was like, dude, like general anesthesia, I've done it a ton of times. I've never relapsed. So doing the general anesthesia mm-hmm. bike ride is cool. And I, with my, like my sober community, like, you know, everybody knew, like even in my crew, I had sober people. It's like, all right, you know. Very clear on why I'm doing this. It's for work. It's on camera. And I'm getting shot up with
general. How far did you get?
Well, that one, like, when you're in surgery, they intubate you. You know, like, because you completely stop breathing. And so, like, being in a field, riding a bicycle, and stopping breathing is kind of scary. We did hire an ambulance. We were ready if we had to. And it's so funny, like, we did this at Dave England's house, but he didn't know it. I was like, hey, can I shoot at your house? He's like, yeah, he's got 5 acres. Like, yeah, for sure. But he didn't know we were shooting. So we get there and there's an ambulance. He's like, what's that for? Like, oh, yeah, we're doing a general anesthesia bike ride. And his, like, whole face goes, like, white because he thinks, like, that he's going to have to do it for some reason. I'm like, oh, no, it's just me riding. Like, he goes, oh, okay, cool, you know?
Yeah.
Once he knew that he was off the hook and there was no pressure for him to do it, like, somehow, like, he was so relieved. It didn't even occur to him that it might be problematic that I could die on his property. But everyone is pretty sensitive about the stop and breathing thing. So the game plan was to give it to me bit by bit to just get me to the point where I was out, but not like needing to be intubated. And that was if you look on Google, the drug is called etomidate. I went with that one because it's not a substance of abuse like propofol. Etomidate. You give a man, a full-grown man, 8 milligrams of etomidate, he's out for surgery.
For real?
Yeah, and we stole a vial of 20 milligrams.
You only need 8?
Yeah, eight at once.
That's enough to put a man out for surgery where they don't feel the pain and everything,
yeah,
and
now
too?
Everybody's going to be different.
Sure,
you know, everybody's going to be different. But yeah, average, like, okay. that's what Google said.
So we got about 2 1/4 fucking servings of this thing, huh?
Yeah, so we had 20 milligrams. They gave me 2 at once. And I'm like, not even close. Give me 2 more. Not, you know, I need more. Like, and at this point, I'm like, oh, give me more. You know, it's just crazy. And fuck, man, they gave me all 20 milligrams. I'm still riding around.
Nuh-uh, dude.
Yeah.
You took all 20. You're still pedaling that fucking thing?
Well, yeah, that's because, like, they get by giving it to me bit by bit. Like, I don't know, it's like cycling, you know, you kind of, it's got to be all at once to get me down. And no, I don't know that anybody really knew that. Everybody thought it was going to work. But then, so that bit with the bike ride isn't even about crashing the bike because I'm unconscious. It's about, like, what a fucking raving asshole lunatic on drugs I became immediately. Like, drugs enter my body and I'm fucking blah. You know, like in the footage, you see me get loaded, like on drugs, loaded, acting loaded, fucking drugged up, temper tantrum, freak out.
And do you remember that? Or
yeah,
you do? Okay.
I remember it. And I remember it being the most fucking traumatizing thing. Because the bit was a failure because I wasn't knocked out. Like I was fucking humiliated by the way I behaved. And like now my sobriety was in question. Like, dude, am I even a sober guy? I just got fucking loaded, you know? So for a while I was pretty shaky on that one. Like it fucked me up. And the bit was a failure. But then I fucking meet this guy and he's like, I got you, dog. He says, I got a way you can finish your bit. And you don't have to worry about your sobriety because it's not even going to affect like how it's just going in your spine. We're going to paralyze just your bottom half.
And so that was the,
I was like, dude, my recovery, I don't have to worry about sobriety. Like, let's fucking go. And that was the one where Lux was like, okay, now I'm not showing up. That's where she stopped showing up.
Yeah. And now when you did that, you didn't feel that same like more from that.
I did not, no, yeah. Man. Like, it was just my, you know, from the neck down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That one was, yeah. So it's all pretty fucking intense stuff, man.
Yeah, please. Look, first of all, thank you for coming on here and doing this show and
yeah,
telling
dude,
these stories.
For sure. But
plug and promote the name, where,
it's
all
Steve-O's
of it again.
It's Steve-O's bucket list. It's at Steve-O.com. I brought Jeff Tremaine, the director of Jackass, mm-hmm. over long time ago, a couple years ago, to show him like a video of a performance with all the multimedia baked in. I was like, dude, you and me, Tremaine, we go to Netflix and it's from the director of Jackass, like what Jackass couldn't show, like this crazy like thing. I was like, I think we can fucking make this happen. He watched it, he goes, buddy. You know, like he's like, dude, you've outdone yourself and I'm real proud of you. But this isn't going anywhere near Netflix, pal. Like, this is, like, from start to finish. Like I don't see any, even a part of this that could be on Netflix. So it's like, all right, you're right. You know, I'm not censoring it. I'm not toning it down. And I'm putting it out myself. And so.
Good for you, dude.
For people to support that and support me. And that's a big deal, dude. So you go to steveo.com and that'll mean the world to me. And I promise. I promise this will not disappoint anybody.
Somebody might pass out.
So, yeah, if you're the kind of person who passes out, then set up a camera when I warn you. Yeah.
Dude, thank you very much
for
doing
this. Thank you, brother.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.